went to the gym while I'm sitting there, and I didn't want to go to jiu-jitsu. I didn't have a lot of time. I said, you know what I'm going to do?
You want to jiu-jitsu too?
Yeah, I'm going to make a protein shake, and I'm going to walk to the YMCA. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the elliptical for 20 to 30 minutes. I'm going to do some dead squats, some deadlifts, some squats, and some leg extensions. But the main thing is I'm going to walk in the sun because I'm going to Jersey. God knows what the fuck the weather. I love it. It's like yesterday. I could have worked that with Leon 11. I didn't feel good. I still don't feel good. Like, I got something's right. Lingering, but I'm fighting this motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing down 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C every time I go to the cabinet.
That's what that gave me the shakes a couple times. Oh, yeah. I did that.
When you do too much of it?
Too much vitamin C.
Like, it's like niacin. You ever eat fucking niacin, dog?
What the fuck is that?
Niacin is a vitamin you take when you got to take a pee test. Eat a lot of the niacin and see what happens to you.
Right,
you can feel the heat going through your body, like,
shit.
And your pores opening up and makes you sweat like a motherfucker.
Oh, Jesus.
But no, I've been popping that vitamin C. Yesterday, I went out to that North Hollywood Park and I brought some kettlebells out there. I walked to the middle to one of the trees out there with a 35-pound Lee and a 45-pound on the way there and back, and I got water and I walked. Yeah, I love all that shit, man, because I don't know what's going to happen in Jersey. Let's start this motherfucker, Lee.
This show is brought to you by MeUndies. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey to get 20% off of your order, and they offer free shipping in the United States and Canada. MeUndies offers the best and most comfortable men's and women's underwear. They have t-shirts, socks, all of your great clothing products, and they come up with new designs every month. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey to get 20% off and free shipping in the U.S. and Canada. And the show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Use code word CHURCH to get 10% off all of the great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, and Shroom Tech Sport.
Oh, shit.
Get it.
Just when you thought it was safe, black people coming for lunch,
right? Boom. In your face.
This is old school as fuck, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, real.
If you got a minute, get the album cover of this motherfucker. It's a chick with a, like, barely naked with a fucking fireman suit on. And the album before this was Honey. And it was the same chick with honey all over her body in the middle. The church of what's happened now, motherfuckers, for some real black history. Crank that shit, Lee. The way you sleep. Oh, shit. Drop me to my knees. And I always wondered why I never rapped over this.
No,
this song has never been touched. I think one person finally fucking did it years later.
That's unbelievable.
I'm trying to think.
That is one of my all-time favorite. When I was fucking whatever, I don't know how old, I went and got this album cover just because of the black chick in the middle. Because you open it up, and she had like a hose around her and a fireman hat, but she was naked. Doc in the motherfucking house.
In the building. What's
Lee
going
Syatt in the motherfucking house.
Hey, everybody.
With the new hairdo. That's good you did it. Fuck it. You did it. You keep it like this for a while. Maybe you build your pores to get some strength.
There's no strength left.
Maybe you get some pills.
Both sides of my family. No, there's nothing left.
Get your little Elvis fucking dippity doo, and you'll be back. Listen, all you need is three hairs. You can do a ton of shit with three hairs.
But what's the point? Because, like I said, there was this dude I used to work with who kept it, but it was like... It was like less than ball hair. Like
three hairs. Like one on the side, one in the middle, one on the side.
Oh, no, you got
to
get it.
I could whip a work of fucking art with three hairs. You understand me? You don't need to be no goddamn stylist. What's up with you, Doc? No, hey, Doc, man, when we walked in here, you and Lee were fucking talking about shootouts and boogie downs and shit. Yeah. So you were at the store that night. When I left that night.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there either.
I took off that day. And, like, I was telling him I was... down at an open mic doing, like, working out some jokes down there and talking to one of the young guys down there. And he was trying, this was like around 12 o'clock midnight, and he was trying to ask me to come down there because he was going to the roast battle. And I was like, you know, the roast battle upstairs in the
Tuesday,
belly room.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
Great show, man. Then I was like, all right, man, I'm a chill, man. When I'm off, I don't want to go down there. So we kicked it down there for a little while longer, and then he left, and then I left around 12:30, whatever. Then he get down there around 12:45, and then that's when the shooting took place.
And I left there at 10 to 12.
Yeah, we were there like an hour before.
Yeah, we left at 10 to 12.
Right, you just,
you just left. Well, we just didn't leave. I'm not going to lie to nobody. We left an hour before. We didn't feel nothing. I didn't feel no tension. I can't tell you that. You know, I was in shock the next day. You know, you're always in shock when you were somewhere where somebody got shot. 1,000 possibilities.
Right.
Run through your fucking head, you know.
It's scary. It's like we were just there. Like, if you had wanted to get a water, or if I wanted to go to the bathroom, in theory, like, just something could change. It's scary to think about.
I mean, it's just, like, you don't expect that, man. In a public place, everybody's sitting right there, right where, and he just ran up right in the middle of everybody. That's what's bizarre. It's not a drive-by. It's him running in the middle of a packed bar and just shooting one person.
In the front. In front of 20, 30 witnesses.
20, 30 witnesses.
And nobody's seen fucking nothing. It's amazing.
They saw, but it was nobody seen him, like, come in. I mean, like, I guess at the time when he ran in, they might have saw him, but they, you know how the story is. Stuff just be happening. Nobody really be, they out there got the music playing, people drinking on the
ground. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's a great atmosphere.
When you want CSI and they show up, there's always one guy that's seen the perpetrator and a hair falls. Right. Listen, this is the real fucking world. That guy walked up, dressed up like fucking, a crypt or whatever the fuck he was, and just shot that motherfucker and walked out and nobody seen a fucking thing.
Nobody.
That's a professional street hit.
Yeah.
You don't need to go to our army to know how to do.
Right.
That's just common sense hit.
Right.
You hit him right in front of anybody. You don't contact somebody on fucking on Twitter and tell them to put poison in your husband's soup.
Man.
You just fucking hit this. You just do it. And that was the next day, like, two people were like, dog, it was a hit.
Yeah, because he had a bandana around his mouth. He had a hoodie on. He was trying not to be seen. All he wanted was to see who he wanted, and that was it.
And he ran down the street in the middle by the House of Blues.
Yeah, he parked across the street on the side of the building. So nobody, the House of Blues is closed, and it's got that shaded and dark area over there where he parked the car, and they say it was a black sedan. So, anybody from the hotel, paying attention, right, the hotel next door to it, they wasn't probably paying no attention to anybody running across, because people run across all the time, So there's no cameras. It's just like that, and that's why the police was like, anybody got anything, let us know. It's like that dude executed that perfect, whoever he was.
No, that's the way to shoot somebody, in front of 30 fucking people.
Yeah.
Listen, when you shoot a gun, you got to see what happens to people. You really have to see what happens to people.
I would be in shock. I don't think
you shoot a gun, when you shoot, if you hear a gunshot, first of all, in today's society, because of all the shootings, your mind's going to tell you right away you're dead.
Yeah.
Dopamine, whatever that drug comes out, DMT, when you're almost dead. And rabbits, that shit's shooting out. Because already you're told that it's a fucking shooter with a machine gun that's going to spray the place. So I can't imagine. I felt bad,
And I mean, he rattled off 7 of them.
And it's the fucking Comedy Store, which it's not like a club where shootings go down all the fucking time. You know what I'm saying?
And it's like, I don't know. Coming from
where it's the most hangout, coolest. That's what the killer part about it. It's the coolest spot to hang out, and you're talking years of people, years and years. It's a tradition. So, everybody's back to normal, though. You know how the story is. It's always welcoming, and they made the adjustments and everything. Our home is what it is right now, but it was scary, though, for those first 2-3 days for people. And first thing I told people, I was like, hey, don't go on Twitter, don't go on Facebook. No jokes about this guy, because y'all don't know who this guy is. Like, y'all say the wrong thing, and his boys think it's funny. They'll come after y'all. I said, just lay low. Don't play with this. This dude he was serious.
So the guy was from New York, out here visiting.
That's what they say. Yeah, they say he was visiting. They say he was staying at the hotel right next door to the club. So that's all they have, that he was visiting from New York. And he was staying in the hotel. That's it.
You always wonder when there's a professional hit or a hit, what that person had done. Like, it's really like a backtrack type of deal.
Right.
And it's always off of some. Because if he's from New York and they came out here and hit him, the guy he fucked with had long fucking arms.
Yeah.
Obviously he knew people out here, which is even stronger than the fucking thing.
Right.
And that's just a different world, Lisa Ann.
Like, coming from where I grew up, like, you just think, you grew up thinking the cops will catch everybody. And then you never hear this. Oh, like, man. You never heard of anything ever after that night. Like, there was no story again. I was like, how does, like...
Only on CSI.
Are you from the hood or...
No.
New York undercover. I'm from the opposite of the hood. You see how they find the hair and they immediately get witnesses to come in.
But you have to remember, where he from... You're from a place where if a crime takes place, it's so infrequent that they can figure things out. Whereas where we're from, crime is so much that it's hard for them to keep up with them.
Well, I know literally not 100% could get solved, but a shooting at the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard, you think that would be like pretty high up on the priority.
Not a hit, bro. If you hit him right.
You know, let's say I come to your house, Lee. Let's say you burn somebody for $500,000 in drug money.
Okay.
And they tell me you're hiding out in a fucking apartment building in Sherman Oaks in Los Angeles. That's the hardest hit of my life.
Right.
Because I got to guarantee that there's cameras at the door, there's cameras on the way up the stairs. If I hit you on the street, there's probably cameras. This is the street.
Yeah.
I hit you on fucking Sunset in the middle of the traffic, people drinking. That's a real fucking old school hit.
Remember the last time I was here? And we was talking about the best friend gang in Detroit.
Right.
On Gangland. If you watch if you go back and watch the on YouTube, type in Best Friends from Detroit. Look at they voted them as the most notorious gang on the whole Gangland series, and it was because that was their thing. Their thing was to hit you in the daytime. So they would hit you when you were they would follow you. Sometimes they would wait 2-3 years and then they would hit you. So like you'll be eating lunch at the mall or whatever, and they'll just come back bang bang and then gone. Like that's people be terrified. When you do a shooting in the open like that, people were so terrified, people just duck for cover. They don't look. They don't pay no attention.
Yeah,
you don't remember faces.
You would think they would have cameras on every street lamp now, especially on Sunset.
You know, how much of a budget do they have for fucking cameras? Wow, you watch them on TV, the cameras are pointed in one direction. It's horrible visibility on the cameras. They're just generalities. They show all these fucking people getting hit and runs. The hit and runs are huge.
Let me put it to you, too, like this. The car that they used could have been a stolen car, one. Two, he was in a ski mask hoodie. What's to identify? Three, if you do a hit like that, you're gonna do it and time it as perfect as possible.
Yeah, because if he'd done it any earlier, Sunset, he might not have been able to run across the street.
Right. So he planned the whole thing. 1 o'clock in the morning, my man. Almost 1 o'clock in the morning. Hardly too many people out on a Tuesday. Perfect. You can't get it no better. That's the perfect escape. And he parked on a downslope, so the police station is over here on the down end coming up. He's going down. You know what I'm saying? And the only cops that could have got him was the ones that they say that was like 2 minutes away at the light, and they didn't get him. So it's too chaotic of a situation for them to the only way they would have been able to get him is if they would have got that license plate and that guy would have got caught a mile away. But at that point, by the time they realize that he's 6 miles out or might even switch cars by now, and especially if he's from another state city, he gone. You gonna get him.
That's the world we live in. Do you think okay, am I watching too, cause like, am I watching too much TV and movies, or is it possible that if it was a hit, the guy from New York could have had intel, be like, he's going to be at the store, park here, there's no cameras here. Like, does that stuff exist, or is that all?
Yeah. Like, Jesus. You got to understand, that's why they call it casing a joint. Anytime you see a person rob a house, or they call it casing. Casing means set up the scenario, make sure everything is set up perfectly. Okay, he's here. All right, what can we do? How do we get him? All right, put the car over here. As soon as he come out, hit him, bang, I'm gone. And by the time the police get here, we'll be out.
Everything about that hit. Yeah. He's not a genius. It's very common sense.
Yeah, is it really?
It was very common sense. The guy could be a fucking total moron, but it's very common sense. Don't let them see you. Run across the street. You got a gun. Nobody's going to chase you.
Park down the darkest on the darkest part on the darkest on Sunset. Fucking
part on Sunset. Parking down where you have access to a right turn and a left turn onto La Cienega, and you're gone.
Ghost.
You're on your way to the fucking airport. You park that car, take a cab to fucking the park rental, get your... I mean, it's amazing. The thousand options, but there's a lot of moving pieces.
Right, that's...
You follow me? That's why I don't... If you're going to ice... Like, for years, I wanted ice one when I was growing up. And then when I went to Colorado, I met my buddy, and he taught me all this weaponry and all this type of shit. And there was one way I was going to hit one, and it wasn't going to work. It was going to be when he was coming home at night, but he didn't drink. For me to hit Juan and get away with it in those days, the best hit would have been at 6 o'clock when he was leaving the flower shop and walking into that bar across the street. Nobody would have saw it. The only problem I would have had is to pray to God that nobody else got a piece. There's no fucking heroes. That's the only thing you got to look for. Because once you turn to run, there could be a hero there and just start shooting, and there goes your party.
Right.
But trust me, 9 out of 10, you're in shock when you hear a bullet. When I saw Juan shoot Nico when I was a kid, I wasn't in shock because it was a direct shoot, and I was watching. That was my stepdad.
Right.
But years later, I went to cop one time, and I heard bullets go off. And I got to tell you, man, I didn't even see what direction they were coming from, which sometimes makes it worse. You shit your pants.
Yeah.
When you have your back turned and you're doing a blast and all of a sudden bullets go off, you shit your fucking pants.
Like. And you're sure it's a bullet? Like, there's no chance it's like a backfiring car or something? It's
you
a bullet?
You know when you hear one bullet go off and people start yelling.
Yeah. I mean,
and
I've
was
been...
maybe 22, 21, 20 when that shit happened in Spanish Harlem, and I went home. I was fucking numb. I'm not going to lie to nobody. I had a actually, that's why I always told people. Like, life change. In the movies, people just pull out a gun and drop to one knee and shoot. That does not fucking happen a lot.
Never.
I don't care how. You have to be experienced in that type of action. It's like when we do jujitsu.
Right.
And you breathe, and you're moving through me, and I can't. Or I do it to you. You know, there's a part where, you know what I'm saying? You. What's my fucking point here?
you get used to it. It's like muscle memory at a certain point.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, when I was on the street, I remember one time when I've been shot several times. I never got shot. But one time, one time I'm on the corner, and one of the guys in my gang, he goes, "Hey, man," he goes, "I got into it with such and such, and I shot up his truck." And I was like, "Why you shoot up his truck? Who does that? Like, you didn't shoot the dude?" And he's like, "Nah." He's like, "So be on the lookout." So I was like, "Man, whatever." We was like, "Man, whatever, dog." So we on the corner slanging dope, laughing, talking. Now, nighttime comes, we still out here making money, whatever. And then I'm talking to him, and he's on the left side of me, and I'm facing him face to face, and I'm telling him something, blah, blah, blah. And he just looking, and all of a sudden, he just takes off running. He doesn't tell me, "Hey, look out, nigga." Right? So I go, "What?" I said, "Man, why?" And I turned to my boys, that was, I said, "What is he doing? Why did he take off running like that?" And then I look up, and I see the guy coming. The guy's coming, and with their headlights off, and it didn't even dawn on me, because I knew whose trucks they were, right? And because the guy's still driving that same truck, and he comes up, and he pulls up, and I go, "Man, what's that?" I said, "Why they got the headlights off? That's them coming up." And they was like, "I don't know." And then by the time we fucking realized it, they was like, "Right where this camera, where your camera stand is." And I go, "Oh, shit." I said, "He shot it." And before we know it, the window come out, two rifles come out, pop, 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 pop. So, dude, I'm telling you, like, all I see was flashes, and I kind of like Matrix. I ain't even Matrix. I just, like, I ain't even care. I could have hit my hand on a fire hydrant, anything. I just jumped back. I just dived back. And then I rolled, and then you could hear the bullets hit the ground, and I jumped up and ran. And there was, you know how, like, the liquor stores had those big steel doors that, like, they open up like this. So when I ran and I could hear the bullets hit the wall, and then I jumped behind the steel door, and it was bang, 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 like, Jesus Christ. I don't think they was trying to shoot us, dog. But then they might have. They just might have been poor aim. You know, and I was a little dude. You know, I'm only 5'3".
Listen,
so
it's
be about 4'11".
It's fucking scary just to shoot the gun. Yeah. Aiming is a complete different fucking story.
Yeah.
When I first shot a machine gun the first time, Lee, I shit my pants, and I was the shooter. Yeah. I was just shooting at a fucking target.
Yeah.
The power and the euphoria you get when... And then you have to start thinking, like, I don't know what he told me. How many bullets come out of there per minute? Like, what? And I had the little one. When I got arrested,
right,
the one for the kidnapping was a baby one. Like, a garbage one. Like, I had shot, like, an AK one time.
Yeah.
You have no idea the unique sound that makes. The unique... And this guy had every weapon up there in Colorado. We would just shoot on that. As long as I paid for the bullets... We would just shoot our asses off.
You know what they remind me of? They remind me of, like, they kind of sound like a, to me, like an automatic gauge. You like a 12 gauge, it's automatic. Just boom, 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 boom. When you up, because you up close on it, it's so loud. Like, because the gauge is like boom, boom. But this is like a boom, 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 boom. It's like a fuck. So that's why I kind of feel like, because I'm on a small end, but they ain't hit none of the other guys either. And, like, they're driving. Most people don't know. You know, most guys don't know really how to really assault rifle. So they just out. He didn't really have time to really, you know, as soon as the window dropped and he just pointed it out and he, bah, 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 you could see it was jumping because of the, he didn't have no real, like, stability to hold it, you know, and it was, I don't know. I can't really tell you.
God bless their soul when there's shootouts and they hit these little kids by mistake. They don't know what they're doing, Lee. They're just shooting a gun. They're just yahoos. They got their hands on a fucking gun. They're not trained. They know nothing. They know how to fucking pull it. You know what? Those are the scariest people. See, those are the people you don't want guns in their hand.
Yeah.
Those are the people that scare me the most. That crazy guy that goes into a movie theater with a gun, that's going to happen. Mental illness is going to happen.
Right.
It's the people who are just fucking whacked out, like me when I was 22. If I had a gun, when I was 20, if I had a gun, I didn't know what I was doing. Right. I would have just pulled it out with, like, whatever I've seen in a Rambo movie and fucking shoot it like a jerk off. And that's what the problem is. That's when the problems occur, you know. I have a hit on Lee. I don't like Lee. So I'm going to go shoot him at a fucking mall. I can't shoot. So all of a sudden you're going to run and I'm going to go like this. Da, 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 da. And I'm going to move my hand horizontally. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Dang.
I'm not military trained. I'm not police trained. All I know is what I've seen in the fucking Clint Eastwood movies.
Right.
That's when innocent people get fucking shot. Those are the scariest people to me. That's the people we got to keep the guns out of their hands. So people have that have no idea. I love shooting. I love all that stuff. You ever see me with a gun in my hand, Lee?
Not recently.
Because I understand. I understand what it does to you. I understand how it changed me. It changed me. That's how weak I am as a human being.
How could it not? It's fucking, you have the power to kill somebody. Like, thank God they didn't have good aim. Like, have you ever thought, like, what if they had just gotten, like, one target practice?
Like, no, I would have been lights out. They would have been lights out. You know what's funny is, one of the guys in my gang, one time, he got mad at me. He said, Doc. He said, man, I don't understand something. He said, every time you leave, somebody, either you just leave or you just before you get here, somebody gets shot. He said, it never happens when you're here. And he said, and then when you do get shot at, they don't even come close to really hitting you. You don't even get hit. It's like everybody else get hit, but you don't get hit. And he's like, man, I don't get that. Why is that? I'm like, man, I don't care. I'm like, you shouldn't even. He said it like he was like mad about like I didn't get shot, and I was like, nah, what? That's good. Like I'm like, that's good. I'm glad I never. Like I won't be like they had bags on they. You know, got dudes all in their wheelchair. I mean, they're my homies, but you know, it's just like the luck, or I say it was God, you know, watching over me. I was just a teenager, man. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know what could happen. That's why you see on the hood how many of these young black kids get killed. They don't even know what they're involved in, bro. They don't have a lot of options.
Right.
When you don't have a lot of options and you see people driving a car and you don't even have a fucking bike.
Right.
That fucks with your psyche and it makes you do shit that you wouldn't normally do. Yeah, there's a lot of people who play football and get out of the fucking ghetto.
Right.
And they're very lucky. They have a hard house.
Yeah.
They have one of those black fucking militant fucking parents that goes out there with a slipper and shit and beats you.
Those kids are fortunate to make it. Past the other stuff because the other kids don't. And you know, my mother, it's just funny. You just said this. I was just talking to my mother yesterday about me, because she said she don't like when I talk about me being in the gang. She's like, that's your past, and you don't that was a long time ago. And I was like, nah, I said, what I do is for that, you know. And I was, you know, trying to explain it to her. And then she said, yeah, but unlike them, you had a way out. You had somebody to help you out. And I was like, true. And I was saying, that's what I'm doing. You know, I was like, I'm being what you are, but I'm trying to do it on a bigger scale. You know, because kids in the hood, they don't. And we ain't talking about just black. You're talking about Latino hoods. And you're even talking about trailer trash.
White hoods. Yeah. White hoods are no fucking different.
Yeah. Anywhere,
they sell meth. They're no different.
But yeah, like, so when I look, like, I'm like, why not be a comedian and blow up and really become the dude to make that change? You know, like, I feel, because I know how to do it. I know exactly how my mother did it for me. And all it is I was reading a book by Princeton University about Albert Einstein called Unquotable Einstein. And Einstein said this brilliant quote in there. He said something like, American people, he said, they might not be as intelligent as the Germans. He said, but what they have is an energy and enthusiasm. And I go, shit. And he said, that's why they're able to create and make better things. And I said, holy shit, that's the game. You put the poverty places is just missing and energy and enthusiasm. And what causes that? Love. And I said, damn, dog, if dudes really put in a love in the hood, like really put it in, and in impoverished places with white people, like not just, we ain't talking about just people that come from there. We're talking about everybody from Microsoft to Facebook. Like, we all get together, like, and create like a mastermind group, right? And we set up systems and different opportunities and different job corps and all kind of stuff. Man, we can change the energy of America. Well, I mean, period. Like everybody ain't gonna succeed, because it's always somebody dumb out there. It's always somebody who's, you know what I'm saying? Somebody always whose kid is not gonna make it. But why not us be the vehicle for the kids who don't have that? You know what I'm saying? Because people just turn their back, and that's why we got so many drug dealers and people locked up.
Now, love is great.
Yeah.
Love is a great thing to give somebody when they're confused. It saved me. The love my friends gave me saved me. But it took a long time for the love to sink in.
That's what I know.
Okay, the love takes a long time for it to sink in. You know, all that love I got from my friends and stuff got heightened when I started dating Terry. Because Terry was trying to give me love, and I still wasn't having it. When you have anger, you know, I was watching Training Day. Why aren't we watching Training Day? I was watching Training Day. It was on Sundance. And at the end, he gets beaten down. Alonzo gets beaten down by these bloods, you know.
Right.
And these bloods are supposed to play these angered bloods. You know, they're good-looking black dudes that are actors.
Right.
But I was thinking about what these bloods know. Why do you become a blood? Because in your mind, you think that all the opportunities are shut into you. The world dealt you a shitty hand of cards.
Hey.
And guess what? You could never change it, even if you want a motherfucking wanted to.
Yeah.
That's how your mind reacts. That's it. It's shut down. Your mind has made a decision.
It's called
hope. Because my mind made a fucking decision when I was 19.
Yeah. But what about in American Gangster, and then in Sons, they hit the head of the whatever, the gang, like, gives ice cream to the kids. Like, from the time they're kids, they're getting stuff. So they like them. They're nice to them. They get food. Like, how can you fix it if there's people like that?
Well, that's not hope. See, that's not hope. That's just a Band-Aid on the thing. Because at the end of it all, you have to ask, when you go home, you go, Mommy, man, Mr. James is a very nice man. And your mom, if she's black and beautiful like your mom, she'll say, Doc, go up and take a shower, eat your ice cream.
All right.
She ain't going to explain the evil of Mr. James. Because you wouldn't understand it at that age. Yeah. You wouldn't understand that he'd sell drugs. Somebody lost their life for that fucking ice cream.
Yeah, it's like what Al Chapo said, and when he tweeted when he got out. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said to the president, he say, "You do your government shit, and you don't do nothing for the people." He said, "But I'm out here and I'm helping them. I'm putting food in their cabinets. I'm giving them shelter. I'm giving them money. You ain't doing shit." So that's what the problem is. They don't have a drug problem because Mexico's big drug problem, A, because everybody just want to sell drugs, and B, drug dealers. Are you kidding me?
You just got no what fucking kids? Hope.
They nobody. Yeah, they feel hopeless.
Look at your mother-in-law.
Yeah,
it's, look at your mother-in-law. She has a hard life, bro.
But
that's a hard life.
But
that's a hard life, you know.
Yeah,
and she could have fucking sold out at any time.
Why do you think they recruit the younger ones? Because the older ones won't do it. See, the older ones, most of the older ones try to fight up against it. They either get killed or whatever. So that's why they go to the young, because the young ones are the most hopeless ones, and those are the ones to easily influence. Especially with cars and money and clothes and women, it's easy to, or, you know, whatever, vice versa.
Well, that's what Lee was saying. Yep, Lee was saying, like, when you see that at that age, you're like, I want to be like him.
Yeah.
You want to be like that.
What does he do? What does he do to drive nice cars?
Yeah.
And then even if they don't want to be like that, like, let's say there's that guy giving out ice cream, what are we going to do? Like, what is the city going to do? Like, oh, the school's nicer, but you hate school. So, but, like how are we going to entice them to change?
Because what you do is you set up for, here's a perfect example, Tupac, right?
Okay.
Tupac, he was doing all this behind doors stuff that people didn't know. And one of the greatest things that I heard that he was doing, which is fantastic, was he started doing concerts, and he did a concert for a school in Compton. And he told them, he went to the school, and he said, listen, anybody who strive and push and get above C average report card, he said, or C or better report card, he said, y'all get to come to my concert for free. So kids was like, what? See, so imagine this, me being a comedian, right? I get involved with more bigger comedians, and we do shows and different things, like maybe once a year or whatever. And we set up, it's so much we could do, set up programs like that. Then I get with the different rappers. We start telling them, hey, would you let this amount of kids come to your concert for free if they do this for school? Like, you get a collective people doing it all together. So now all the kids is like, oh, man, you got a drive to do things. Now you take that, and then you take the big corporations like Microsoft and Facebook and everybody who got all this different money from Warren Buffett, all these Americans with all these billions and millions of dollars, you take them and you set up programs that helps the kids get better shelter, get better housing, get better, just better job, better everything. Everything adds up. It's so much we could do.
Well, how was the school where you were from? Because, like, I talked to Paula. Mm-hmm. She went to a charter school for, like, smarter kids. And she was saying, like, the teachers never showed up. They gave her A's because she showed up and was nice. Like, she said she skipped like half of her senior year. Like, she would skip all the time, and they just don't care down there because they have a lot more to do. Like, we need, like, those events are great, but we need money for, like, the schools, like, to keep the.
But
kids.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, you have to remember, this is the collective thing. My thing is there is no 100% formula right away. All it takes is for one thing to start working, and then the rest to snowball. See, that's what the problem is. Nobody's ever really put forth a true system of
you know why?
From the beginning.
Because it takes effort.
Yeah, but
effort.
I'm willing to do it though.
And, like, nobody pays for that effort, so people tap out after 2 weeks. It's like what we deal with here. People are gonna do something after 2 weeks, they fucking fizzle in Hollywood. We're gonna write a script, and all of a sudden they're selling real estate. You know, the thing that makes me laugh the hardest is that thing a couple of years ago just fizzled out. The corporations, everybody was building tents. Remember Operation Fucko?
Oh,
yeah, all the hippies got downtown and they built shelters.
Oh, you mean the Wall Street one?
Yeah, when they were going to get together and shut down the corporations, they tapped out
right.
Once they looked at their iPhone.
Because
right. You can't have an iPhone and fight corporations.
Right.
You know, and it's so weak because even in the 60s, those fucking acid heads, they got beat up. Look right. At all the black people that marched and got beat up. People don't do that no more. You know, it happened in Jackson, in whatever, Missouri,
right.
Where people stood up, and that war went on for a while. But
right.
People really don't believe. You know what I read?
You know what about, it is? Because, like, they ain't doing shit.
No.
They just marching. Everybody's just marching. I got to march for this. March for this. March for that. I'm like, what is y'all doing?
It's for the Facebook selfies.
We were at the march. Yeah, we were really, at the march.
Like, it's a joke, but that's honestly
that what shows
like, people. After they do their march, they back home and they just doing what they do. And not even, they not the next day continue. It has to be continuous. Here, let me put it to you like
you're
this, right? When I was in, like, my little cousins and my, I call him my little brother back in Detroit. When when I met him through them, I took them in, right? Because where they from, where they was at, I was like, God, ain't nothing. But they're where I grew up and my mother pulled me out of. It's all gang, all crack, all their little friends to the day. A lot of them is dead. A lot of them locked up. And but those particular kids, I said, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I took it upon myself. I said, y'all, because my mother did this. This is how she got me out. I said, if y'all try anything y'all want to do, let's do it. And then so they would call me, hey, we want to go bowling. Let's go bowling. Hey, I want to go to the pet store. Man, we used to get on our bike and ride. Man, this pet shop is like 20 miles away. Man, super far away. Man, even I was like, God damn, all this for a goddamn snake? Okay, well, we go there. And that, but it's what we do. I used to just do whatever it took to give them some kind of spark to be to look at, like, yeah, I can do it. And I said, yeah, you can do this. If you don't look at this, all you got to do is do this and stay what you want to do. This is what you want to do? Hey, let's do it. So whatever anything that they really wanted to do that was positive, as long as it was positive, I just pushed them towards it. Whether they became it or not, didn't matter. But now, both of them got kids. One of them don't. He owns his own truck business. He's got 6 trucks now. You know what I'm saying? He's making it happen.
When I was at the getting my haircut yesterday, there was this father getting his haircut, and he had 2 little like Filipino kids, and he was quizzing them. He was doing spelling bees with hard words,
right?
Like association, and he was giving them quizzes. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, how those kids are going to go so far. Like, it's amazing how much parenting matters, and that's probably another thing. Like, yeah, even if we get them to school, not every parent there is going to be like your mom.
Sometimes, but you have to remember, bro. If the drug dealer can influence them, so can you. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same love, but you're taking it to a positive direction. So if you're really there for them, and you're really to provide, like, you ain't got to. Sometimes, just remember this: all of them aren't mentally broke down to the point where they need you to give them something physical. Some of them just need that support or that word or that love, and you right there to tell them. And then they remember and they feel it. And then if you stay put and you promise things like I said, if like say I go to a school, right? I become famous. I go to a school and I just say, what are y'all missing in this school? What do y'all need right now? If I could fix something right now, what do y'all need? And then they tell me, well, we need in our school, it would be cool if we had the kids. I'm talking about the straight up kids, going to them, what would be good for y'all school? And then they say, well, it would be nice if all of us could have a center where we could have computers and this and that. And I say, all right. I say, so tell me this. If I do this for you guys, will y'all keep trying? See, it's just, and not even just in school, you can go to the hood. What do you guys do? What could we do here? And you work on that one thing. See, not a bunch. Just one thing first. You start with one thing. And you do that. You go out and you do it. They're going to look at you and go, this dude trying. He trying. I'm going to try too. I promise you. Because that's what my mother did for me. My mother said, when I got locked up at juvenile and I dropped out of 11th grade, I was like, fuck it. The streets was me.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
At one point you go, you commit.
Yeah.
That's what I was telling Lee the other day. To do it, you don't go home and go, well, if I rob that in the corner, what's going to happen to me? Will I go to jail? No. I'm just going to fucking rob and make a move. There's no falling. There's no safety net. There's nothing. There's nothing. You know, when I robbed that jewelry store at 21, I got away with it. That was the worst thing that could have happened to me. There's so many things that are the worst thing that could have happened to me at that age because I was invincible. But when I went to prison at 27 or 26 or 25, I knew when I was going to prison, I was paying for all those dumb sins I didn't get caught for.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking something that we all know. I mean, you're not wrong.
Right.
But doing it is the other side of that.
Right.
Doing it is the other side of that. And for some people, they look at it and it seems like a fucking eternity. That's why most people don't get it together till they're 30. Because they're like, every time they go to try something, I say to you, how long does it take to be a good comic, Doc? 10 years. Fuck that. How long does it take to be a welder? 4 years. Fuck that.
Damn.
How long does it take to be a good cook? 4 years. How much are you going to pay me for those 4 years? $8 an hour. Fuck that. I'd rather sling drugs.
Damn.
$8 an hour is $320 a week. After taxes, it's $243 if you claim two or whatever the fuck you claim. $243 times eight is what? $900 a month. What do you do with $900 a month as a fucking American? I'm watching this yesterday how they're trying to kick up minimum wage to $15. You understand right. me? Look, dog, I tried to go straight for years. But at the end of the week, with no education, with a felony on your record, you know, which I lived life without. I never claimed the fucking felony. You come up to me with that felony shit when I put it, and I look you in the face and go, do you have any idea how many Jose Diaz's are there? Get back on that fucking computer. Jose Diaz is John Smith in fucking America. You're going to come to me with a warrant. Get the fuck out. You got the wrong Joey Diaz. And they come back a month later. It's you. It's you. You're going to fire me now? Who's the best employee you got? You are. Get the fuck. Rip it up, will you? But now, you know, it's so many. Now, I can't imagine a person trying to go straight.
Right.
Because now they do a background check. Everybody.
Yeah, but even, my thing is like...
isn't Obama going to take that away? Check the box or whatever?
Well, here's the thing, though. Like let's just say with that existing, all right? A few years after that, I got into arrested for another for a shooting I did, right? And I had assault with the intent to commit murder, felony firearm, you know? And it was hard, man. Getting a job. But here's where I retract back to the story where I was telling y'all a few seconds ago. It all what helped me keep moving forward was what my mother did for me when I dropped out of 11th grade. When I got out of juvenile, she found out I was selling crack again, and she goes, look, I see you back on the streets again, I heard. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move you to your aunt's house. And I was like, fuck that. I was like, why would I go there? And now she was like, you're going to go back to school. I was like, how am I going to go back to school? I failed the 11th grade year. I ain't been to school all year. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is impossible. She said, nah, it's possible. She said, all things is possible. And she said, if you just try, all I'm asking you is to try. And she said, I will do whatever you, she said, everything you ask for, I'll try my best to get everything you want. She said, I'll try. She said, I'm not, all I'm asking you is just try one time. She said, you go back to summer school, you go and get take a 1-8 for the next semester, you'll graduate on time. Dude, 100%. Not only did I graduate on time, I got on the honor roll the last couple of report cards. It was like, what? Like, that did what happened there was like, damn, if I just, and anytime I needed something, it got to a point where I was like, I didn't want to ask her for nothing no more. It was like, can I get these shoes? Okay, boom, I got the shoes. And I was like, so you doing this because I'm trying? She's like, yeah. She's like, it's beautiful to try, ain't it? And then when I made it, I graduated, man, you should see, like, the gang, I drove over there and with my prom, the girl I went to the prom and I tried, and they was like, look, he doing it. Like, everybody, then when I graduated, they was like, what? It was like, it was an amazing experience. So then, like, right after that, I got into some trouble again, a little shooting, whatever. And,
did you take prom pictures with your gang?
No, I never took any, you know, it's funny, I got a lot of them on my Facebook, and they put up pictures. I'm not in none of the pictures. I've never took no pictures with them. And I'm like, and I look and I'm just like, wow, this must just be like pure coincidence, because it's even in the years back when I was there. And I'm like, wow, I was there. I never took a picture with all these guys. Like, and it's, I don't know if that's good or bad, but I feel like that's, you know, I still love them though. It don't matter. Pictures don't matter. But it's amazing to make it past that point. You know what I'm saying? So when I messed up again, and I got through the system or whatever, and I just used the same energy. And I said, you know what? And my mother told me the same thing. She said, yeah, you got a record. She said, but you can. She said, it's gonna be hard. She said, but you can. She said, all you gotta do is try. Remember, just try. And I said, fuck. So dog, I was working minimum wage, temporary jobs, because temps the only places that really would hire people with felonies. They hire some people. People with felonies always talking about, nah, man, you just get out there and you work. Like, temps will hire you. There are a lot of temporary places that won't, but there are a lot of them that will. And there's other kind of, like, McDonald's, a lot of stuff you can take, because people don't realize it's just a building process. All it is a small little platform that you're building. Then you add on the rest.
But who's willing to do it? I don't have nothing to offer fucking nobody that's any beneficial. I know how to cut coke. I know how to get fucking coke on a plane, stupid shit like that.
That's why you perfect.
But you look at my face, it's dragging. It's 100 right. years of fucking mileage.
Right.
Remember when Mickey went to Rocky in the apartment?
Right.
And he goes, I got knowledge.
Right.
I have knowledge on how a person could turn their life around.
Right.
I have the answer for you. And it's a fucking equation that's very easy, and you pile it on, and you've done it in your head 1,000 times.
Right.
Anybody could get themselves out of any hole if they want to. Plain and simple.
Yeah, 100%.
I've seen it done, you know, and I've done it. I've seen it done, and I've done it. I did a lot of things I didn't want to along the way to get out of that hole.
Same
but if
here.
You're going to put your money there and leave it there, I got to take it. That's
oh, no, I ain't doing
if you're going to leave your money there, we got to take it.
You know, I thought you told me.
A couple weeks ago, I went to that thing we go to on Thursday nights.
Right.
You know, the trucks, the food trucks. And I saw some kid there, you know. I saw a couple kids that night, and then a week later I saw a different kid. Well, today I saw both those kids. And that one kid was like, hey, man, what's up? He was by the library. The library's fucking closed. He's by the fucking library. He's homeless. I'm walking to the Y. You know me, dog. I got an hour to work out. I got to fucking fly. I'm walking. He goes, hey, and I'm going at this. And on the way back, I saw the other guy by 7-Eleven. And the guy came up to me, hey, man, Joey Diaz, what's up? And I go, hey, man, how you doing? And I was going to get one of those protein shakes. I had $4 I found in my sweat jacket on the inside pocket. And I just gave it to the kid. I go, I need a protein shake. But I go, listen, all I got is $4 for you. But I go, listen, you were homeless a month ago on the same fucking corner.
Right.
I go, you got to do something. It's something like you're out here begging. He goes, yeah, but you don't know what it's like. I'm from another state. Bro, you take that puddle water across the street, you wipe your face. Somebody will fucking hide you. I go, you got to go out work a Mexican.
Right.
You got to put it physically and mentally in your mind first that you're going to go out work a fucking Mexican.
Right. But see, he didn't. The key thing was, he said, yeah, but I don't know. That's where it is. And you able to show him. See, that's what I'm saying. That's all people need. Like, just that right there. If you just show them the way, a lot of people don't know how to really get down there. Because they just don't.
They don't know how to get down there, or they don't want to go down there.
They don't. The ones that don't want to.
There's a lot of people that don't want to go down there. Because, listen, there's a lot of people who just don't want to go down there. Lee does not want to go to jiu-jitsu. But Lee knows that as soon as he gets there and he warms up, it's hard, his face gets red, he starts having a good time because you learn shit.
Right.
But most importantly, you learn about the things you can do.
Right.
You follow me? That's in the most empowering thing a person's life is about.
Right.
When you realize you could do something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When I realized I could fucking function. Even though I was a junkie, thief, piece of shit, I knew how to do laundry.
Right.
I knew how to keep a place clean. I knew how to wash dishes. I could cook a chicken cutlet if I got there. Not the breaded with the egg, but the plain grilled one with 2 pieces of Wonder Bread.
Right.
I could sustain.
Right.
You know, I lived in a fucking apartment for $68 a week with more roaches, Lee. Lee, roaches for 4 fucking weeks. When you put your pillow down and you hear the roach crunch, you have no fucking idea.
Right.
And I used to cook in there, make ramen, you know, boil everything. I had more roaches, but I tolerated it for $68 a week.
Right.
I tolerated it because I needed to get on my feet, and also I needed to feed my addiction. I knew that I could afford $68, so instead of paying $168, I could snort blow and live with roaches. You follow what I'm saying, T?
Right.
I mean, that was but I got through it. There was times when you got help from people. People put you up for 4 weeks.
Right.
How many times you help a motherfucker out? You tell Lee, you're my witness. Lee, how you doing? Joey Diaz. What's up, Lee? Nothing. Lee, I'm moving out here with you. No, I'm coming out. You want to stay with me? I have a one bedroom, but you could stay on my couch. Good. For 4 weeks, Lee, they're looking at the want page. You leave to do something with Joe Diaz at 10, you come back at 2, they're still on the fucking couch. They've eaten your food, they got their shoes on, they still haven't taken a shower. you know, after 3 weeks, you got to say something as a human being. Me, I go to Lee's couch. I get into town Saturday. Lee picks me up. We smoke dope Saturday. We get crazy Saturday. We watch Narcos.
Get it.
Sunday, we watch
Narcos in the building.
After fucking breakfast on Sunday, I go get a paper. I walk to get a paper to see what the neighborhood is like, or I borrow the car from Lee.
Yeah.
And Monday morning at 8 a.m., I'm up. The shit on the couch is folded. And I'm with a sheet of paper going to places. Now, you know what, Lee? You know, you're going to let me stay here for 6 months? Yeah, no rent, and you can eat my food. Okay. So what are you going to do as a human being? Do you go to wait to get your camera job position? Or do you go to fucking Wendy's and get a job?
You go.
Do you follow them? People know, but they don't know. Everybody has time. Everybody's got time. Well, Lee told me I don't need to pay rent, so I'm not going to take that job at Wendy. I'm not going to take that job telemarketing from 6:30 to 12:30 like D'Agostino. Now he's making $1,000 a week telemarketing 30 hours a week selling screws and pens and shit like that. I don't want to do that. I went to college for 6 years to be a fucking camera engineer. Right. So I'm going to hold out. My friend Louie, he says he's going to get me in with Paramount next hiring season. So I'm going to stay on Lee's couch for 4 months and eat his fucking food. You know, you want to help.
Right.
But at times you can't help because people take advantage of your... You know, people are lazy.
Yeah, but what I learned too is
this is prison.
Can't nobody really take the way out. Nobody can take advantage of you unless you're allowed.
Unless you're allowed, right? So
my thing is,
but how many people can you say, Lee, get up off the fucking couch? Let's go make this heat.
This is what I do. You know, like one time, my boy, he lived in downtown, and somebody got killed in his building. Then the next week, somebody got killed again, and. Or I might be wrong. It might be just that one time that somebody got killed, and they wouldn't let him in his apartment on his floor for like a day or two because it was not like some kind of, I don't know what, why, but he couldn't go up there. So I told him, hey, man, instead of staying at don't go to the shelter. I said, man, plus that building, that whole area was bad. I was like, just come stay with me. And I said, you don't just give me like $100, whatever. You work, you know, save up your money until you get a good down payment. After about 4 or 5 months, this nigga was taking acting classes, $1,500 for this, and then at Stella Adler, and I'm like, nigga, you better get the fuck out of here. You're like, what are you doing? I told you to save your money. You something here paying for acting classes. I'm letting you stay here. Then I booted them out. You know what I'm saying? Because now you're trying to take advantage, but it's like you're not taking advantage. I let you stay this long. You know what I'm saying?
This is what I'm saying.
To me, it's like you're going to have a few bad apples out there.
What's that episode of The Sopranos when he hooks up with the fucking old lady that used to fuck his father?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and he gives her money. He comes back the next day, and she shows him shoes. And he goes, I thought it was for your phone bill. And she goes, I haven't bought myself a pair of shoes in months. They were on sale for $1,200. You know, you remember Gentry?
Gentry.
She used to bartend in the front thing. Tight with Gentry and her sister.
Oh, Jen.
Gentry, his name is. You don't remember. Oh, it's him? She's from 97.
Oh, 97, okay.
With Corey. Okay. She was tight with Corey. And Gentry was my buddy. I know Gentry for years. It wasn't about sex. No, we never had sex. We were goombas. I just called her when I went to Portland to tell her I was in town, and she told me she was working and she couldn't come to any of the shows. And we've been friends. I'm real tight with her sister. Me and her sister went on the road. But anyway, to tell you the story, I booked one of my first show was before Spike. It was TNT.
Right.
TNN. Right. It was the Nashville something station.
Right? Oh, you're right. Okay. TNN.
TNN. And there was a show on there, something about 50 ways to say, I don't know. And it was about a guy who drove a truck with a chick, and they went from town to town, and they fucking booked it, and they fought. He was like Kung Fu, right. Only he was a trucker. One of the worst shows of all time. Right. Guess what? I book a guest star on this fucking show. And it's tremendous. I play a bookie, and it's all these playmates, and I'm spanking their asses.
Wow.
I play this bookie / hooker house guy. But anyway, they say to me, you have to shoot in San Diego, and you have to spend the night. Gentry is fucking flat broke. I go home at the time. I'm living in Ralphie's apartment on the floor. The whole building is comedians. We're living on the Celine's apartment, Jody's apartment. And I go, I got to go to San Diego. I had no car. I had nothing. Gentry goes, I'll drive you. 15 Wheels of Justice. Something like that.
What year was it?
98, 97.
18 Wheels of Justice.
18 Wheels of Justice. There you go.
You were on in 2001.
Was I? Yeah, 2000 fucking one.
I gotta see that
shit. I'm flat broke. I'm living with Terry. We're barely making rent. They call me up. They go, listen.
18 Wheels of Justice.
Oh, my God. Drive to the hotel and pick up your per diem money. I pick up my fucking paper. And it's like $60, okay?
Mm.
We buy a bag of a reefer on the set. Now, me and Gentry are friends. The hotel room's got two beds. I go, Gentry, you know, fucking, I'm going to go do wardrobe. We're here for 2 days. We got $60, Gentry, okay, to eat. Don't fuck it up.
Right.
I'm going to eat on the set. If you want to eat, there's $60. You know, something small, a chicken sandwich. Right. You know what I'm saying? We got 2 days plus gas on the way back.
Oh, no.
I fucking come back after wardrobe. There's a note. I'm at the fucking hotel restaurant. This is like a fancy fucking restaurant. I go downstairs. It's like this lunch special, $29.99. It comes with a glass of wine, soup, salad, crab meat, all that. I walk in, I go, what'd you get? She goes, I got the special for $29.99. I go, no, you fucking didn't.
She didn't pull a Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yo, this bitch is crazy. She goes, I saved you some crab legs and half of the soup. I go, I'll fucking kill you $29.99. Fuck you. I go, there's $10. That's all you got the next 2 days to do it. I'm going to eat on the set. I ate on the set. I had to bring it back like fucking bread,
right,
and cuts and shit.
Right.
You have no fucking idea. Like, she had no grasp of money.
Man,
she was in there with a hat on, smoking a cigarette. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing drinking a Bloody Mary? Yeah. You got 60 motherfucking bucks and you're drinking a fucking Bloody Mary.
Oh, man.
No, no, no. I believe in helping people. The knowledge, listen, I did this step by step. Like I said, when I saw the homeless guys today, I went inside and I was lifting, and when I got on the elliptical, I thought about being homeless. And I remember those 2.5 months, and then I would get it together, and I'd be homeless. I'm meeting my, when I go to Jersey in December, I'm meeting my high school teacher who helped me out in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
I bumped into this motherfucker on a corner one day, and he's like, you look like shit, dog. I go, dog, I haven't stopped in about a year. I haven't stopped snorting. I've been drinking every night, running a game out of here. He goes, listen, you got to get your life together. You got to go to AA. He goes, if you ever want to get help, let me know. I took that number. I didn't need to get help. I just wanted to get out of town, so I called him up, and he needed money to pay the rent, and I had, like, money, so I gave it to him. And I stayed there for about 6 weeks, and I was not lazy at all. I was a great, he'll tell you, I used to get up in the morning, I'd go right into the city and get a bag of reefer and walk around and try to get a job. I was suspended from the bartending union. I was fucking, I was a fucking.
How did you get suspended from the bartending union?
Oh my God, I was a mess, guys. I was a fucking mess in January of 85. And I move in with T, he picks me up the New Year's Day, and I slept till the 4th, okay? I slept till the 4th.
Wow.
I would just get up to drink water. I had been going for 8 or 9 months. No, exactly. I had been going since March of 84. I had been going.
What does going mean?
Five, 6 nights a week.
Just getting high.
Why do you think I tell you guys, when I was 21 and 84 and 22, it didn't stop for 8 or 9 months.
It was like binging.
It was like five nights a week. When you're homeless, you go to a bar. You finagle $10, you sit there, you milk the beer till something happens. Hey, man, you know, we get a gram of blow. Yeah, hold on 1 second, let me make a call. Next thing you know, you show up with the gram, I give them 2 bumps out of it, and then I make $10. You just hustle, you're just surviving. You're just surviving, you're feeding your addiction, you're reading a little bit.
Right.
You know, you got a couple pair of jeans, you got a couple pair of sneakers, you try to put it together, you use any gel, you're not wearing underwear no more, you got no t-shirts left, you got a winter jacket that smells like cigarettes. It's a horrible fucking existence, but you don't know no other existence. You're stuck. You are fucking stuck. You have no idea what life is when you're fucking stuck, and you think you have no options. You settle for fucking anything. You settle for anything. There's a lady across the street from me, cute lady. You could see in her day, she was really cute. You got to see her fucking boyfriend. He looks like he got hit by a truck. He don't fucking work. Every day when I'm leaving at 8 with Mercy, he's walking to the motherfucking liquor store. Mm-hmm. When I'm coming back, he's walking in with his fucking 16 pack or whatever the fuck they are, the 12 packs.
Right.
And then when she gets home at 5, she comes home with a fucking 24 pack. And they drink all fucking day. And I guarantee that wasn't her dream, man. I guarantee when she started this mission in life that she was hoping to get a guy like Doc or a handsome guy like fucking the Jewish Mr. Yeah. Freeze over here. But she ended up settling for this fucking alcoholic because that's the chance she gave herself.
Right.
You know, that's the chance she gave herself. That's what she tolerates.
How did the guy respond to what you said to him at 7-Eleven?
He just looked at me like anybody would look at when they've never heard language like that. Mm. Because the only people who tell you that type of language and you're in that situation are your parents. Or whoever the fuck is in charge of you that one last time. It pisses you off because they told you you had to get a job. That you couldn't sit there and watch fucking cartoons all day. Fuck you. I told you, you know, I have problems. What fucking problems? The problem you have is you're fucking lazy. And that's the problem that is rampant.
Right.
You know, we live in a country now that, listen, I got to tell you, the thing that bothers me the most is when you, and yes, part of this is because of the immigration problem. But when you tell me you don't have a job because the Mexicans took your job, the America I came from is you have to go out and work the Mexican. If Russians have all the limo jobs, then you got to go out and drive the fucking Russians.
Right.
You do what you have to do to feed your fucking family. If that's, you have to become the best at that field.
Right.
To excel. But everybody wants to put 40% effort into something, and when something doesn't go their way, it sucks.
Right.
How many people take their real estate license? How many people have their real estate license that you know? Thousands. Right. How many people actually sell real estate? You know why? Because they realize it's work. It's not just getting a four-door car and sticking a sign. You got to go to barbershops and talk to motherfuckers. You got to make people believe they could own a house.
Right.
You know how hard that is? You know how hard it is to come over to me right now and go, Joey, we get you in a house next fucking week. And take me step by step.
Right.
Me and my wife, step by step. Show me what's available to me. That's easy.
Yeah.
For a guy like me that knows there's a payoff, that's easy. But for a guy that's 28 that don't know what the fuck is going on, he don't know no better. He thinks right. that you just get a fucking real estate license, put fucking for rent signs down, and that's it. No.
Right.
Same thing with insurance. How many people get the fucking insurance license in this country? They're all cop-out licenses. I've always called those cop-out licenses.
Yeah.
Because people really think because they have an insurance license or what? Oh, I'm going to make $1 million. You know what insurance is? Sales. And you got to go into fucking places. Yeah, me selling an insurance policy to this fucking guy or me selling your life insurance. Yeah, I make a little money, and every time you make a payment, I got a fucking payout, but I got to walk into that Honda dealer across the street with 60 employees in service and 30 salesmen and clerical employees, and I got to walk in there and go, who's in charge of the group insurance plan, and I got to sit with them, and that takes time.
Yeah.
And they've been with the other company for 18 years. That's work. When I have to come, and that's what we all fucking dread. Guess who used to dread that? I did. Right. For years, I thought, oh, well, if you go to the Honda dealer, here you are at the Cadillac dealer. People come in, they got to go home and think about it. But at the Honda dealer, I heard that people go in and they just lay down. For years, as a car salesman, you're like, oh, yeah, I'll go over to the Mercedes dealer. Because people come in and lay down. Yeah, yeah, I'll buy that car for $20,000 over sticker. No, it's fucking work. It's always fucking work.
I would bet right. those dealerships are harder to work at. Rich people are dicks in those situations.
But you could listen, but rich people got money. You have to excite them.
Yeah. No, they you can't.
Those little fucking
good salesmen
old,
are great.
Listen, a 50-year-old that's looking at his wife going, this bat's getting old. I need my dick sucked. I'm gonna go to that bar where my son hangs out and fucking Cosby, one of those young bitches, and look at some 20-year-old pussy.
Cosby.
Are you fucking kidding me, dog? When you go in, when I'm a salesman and you come in, I have to know that. What do you want this car for? Mm. Well, I'm looking to expand my horizons. You're fucking 50. You're living off Viagra. You're married. You're looking to get your dick sucked. Let's do this right, motherfucker.
Right.
And also now look at the guy, look in his eyes, and just melt him before the conversation even starts. Listen, so what you're telling me is you want somebody to lick your nuts right in the front seat. And they'll look at you and come, right? How did you know? Because I fucking know. I got the right car for you. This is the coming in your front seat special, cocksucker.
Well, it wouldn't happen to you, but I'm talking about, like, like the couple who comes in, and it's usually like the woman, and like I'm just, I worked in at a CVS in a nice town, and I worked at a CVS in a shitty town, and I purposely moved to the shitty town because like in the nicer town they're just rude, nonstop, like demeaning, like oh like. Like they like oh get, like they throw you their keys or something, I don't know. I would have assumed they would have been dicks to you.
But everybody ain't like that though. It's you know some people are, that's true. And some people ain't. You know it's people. That's why I try not to even. I just all I know is if I try to be as 100% as I can be, me and me, and try to grow and be better, nobody else matter. You know what I'm saying? I think like we by being 100 and being trying to get better with time, you're gonna be an influence to a lot of people, and you're gonna whether good or bad. So no matter what they do, if you stay in your zone, they're gonna remember you.
But how do you forgive like the bad things that they do? Like for me, I'm that. That right. My anger towards the rich people is because I worked retail for all those years and they were dicks. So I'm thinking that, but now of course they're not all like that.
Right.
How do you forget? Like, how do you forget the things that you learned to hate? I don't know whoever.
Because first of all, I gotta look at why. What is it that I don't like about them? And then when I see what I don't like about them, y'all about to eat some more goodies, y'all.
I am not
going to
eat anymore. That's
200
milligrams.
What's splitting this? Yes, we have. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Get it?
Started from the bottom, now my whole team fucking here.
Oh,
we're going deep. It's Wednesday. It's church is here.
I'm deep as fuck.
It's beef jerky?
No, yeah, no. It's jerky. It's the jelly.
Here, you take it.
No, I ain't fucking with it.
Sober.
Oh, fuck me.
Listen, you got comedy, okay? I know what you're saying. It applies to stand-up. I see comics. I bumped into a comic 2 years ago one day that got me so depressed about comedy, I almost went home and fucking shot myself. I was vulnerable that night, and I stood next to him, and I knew better than to stand next to this kiss of death. Okay? And
did he know he was kissing death?
No, he had no idea. He had no idea he was the kiss of death of the building.
Did you know?
I had an idea until he opened his mouth, and his kiss of deathness kept me. Like, he was a magnet.
Right.
It was the weirdest night of my life. And you have, you know, Lee has really come up to me a couple times and said, how the fuck were you talking to that guy? He was creeping me out. He was doing material on you. So, Lee knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst. When they do the material on you.
I was out one night with a guy.
I did it too before. I can't lie.
A guy telling me how bad for comedy Rogan was, and how the store was not fair to people, and
right.
You know that for every prior there was 30 other black kids that it was racist. I mean, and he was white.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like you know those white dudes that give a fuck about black people and Chinese saved the fucking whales in Europe. And
right.
I've always had a question about people like that. Do you think at home by themselves they're that worked up?
Yeah, they can't wait to get out to talk to you about it. So they just itching to get out. They be storing it up at home. Then they get out.
And all that thought, Lee, if they got that thought out of there, they would write a joke.
Right.
You have no idea what that thought does to your creative process.
It stifles you. Just
it stifles you. It fucking stifles you. This guy got more spots. This guy's not funny. Man. Why is he doing this? She's on a TV show. Yeah, she can't act. Crazy. He stole a joke. He didn't steal a joke. He wrote a joke. He's got $1 million. He's broke. He's got nice sneakers. Do you know how big his house is? He's got this. He's got this. And the whole time you're fucking broke and you got nothing going on.
Struggling.
You got dick going on because you're worried about man, Lee's getting paid and shit. You're worrying about his paper or the things he's got or the things you don't have. And I've been in those positions. I've been in those. When I was 27, I was lost like everybody else. I thought that, you know, oh, that guy's got a lot of. What do you give a fuck? He ain't going to give it to you.
Right.
Why are you campaigning his fucking money? He ain't going to give nothing to fucking you.
Right.
So now you have to worry about, you know, you come here and you sit here and you go, well, Doc is going to Montreal. And fucking Lee. You know why you know why Doc gets that? Because he hangs out with Eddie Griffin. Lee's fucking Jewish. That's why he's going. There's people who think like that. Yeah. They go home at night.
They don't even look at the work.
They fucking think like that. They don't even look at anything else.
And if they ever got it, it'd be, oh, well, finally I got it.
You hear a lot of people shit on, like, they ain't cooked. They be like, they ain't cooked. It's like, don't give a fuck what y'all say. He worked and made it happen. This is like now, anything else that he might have did wrong, okay, I don't know all the other stuff, rumors, right? But regardless, it's like, man, just do your thing. I fell into that myself. Being
sure you do. You, yeah, as soon as you come here, I fell for it.
You know what it is?
Until 99, I had that here.
You see everybody else succeeding for me, and I was asking myself, what am I doing wrong if that guy can succeed? Then you start trying to emulate what they do, and you lose yourself. Then you start taking advice from other people, and you just lose yourself completely. For those who stay in their zone from day one, they usually send a spring in faster and at a better rate, and you have more success because they don't let too much of the outside influence. But unfortunately for somebody like myself, I was listening to too much. I was envying too much. I was doing all this bitch shit, you know. It wasn't even so much as like bad, but it was more like bitch shit, meaning I was feeling insecure because they had and I didn't.
Absolutely.
And I was like, man, yeah, which is kind of bitch shit. I just was like, man, damn, man. And my mother used to get me on all the time. She's like, you're funny like them, and you keep saying because they got stuff and you don't, you're not, you're just as funny. But I always looked at it like, I ain't that funny because, shoot, they funnier than me because they got funny, all the shit, right?
You're funny, you work.
Yeah.
And when the light decides to shine, you're prepared.
That's what my mother always said.
You know, Rogan's big question with me, that he's as smart as he is, as intelligent, every time we get together on a plane, he goes, what really happened to you in 99? Why did you get so funny all of a sudden? We've talked about it on this podcast.
Really?
He's always said it. Yeah. When I first met you, you were a lot funnier on stage, and then one day it clicked. And I'm going to tell you the two things that really clicked.
Is that I always hear that about people when they say
number
success.
One. Number
something
one.
Just boom.
Number one. The number one thing that clicked was I stopped caring about the people around me and the situations. Yeah. And I stopped believing the bullshit.
Yeah.
I stopped believing everything. I believed in one person, me. My word was the strongest. You know what? You'll never sell a CD on your own. Yes, we will. You'll never do that. Yes, we will. You know, after a while, you just have to start fucking doing this shit on your own. And I didn't care. I got sick and tired of agents going, you got to work clean. You know what? You motherfuckers don't know nothing. You haven't done dick. You're a fucking salesman. That's all you are. So I stopped believing in people and listening to people, and I started believing in the fuck who the fuck I was. And that really helped. I just stopped. I was at the store. Why am I listening to these people? Mitzi Shore has dealt with comedians for 30 years, and I'm listening to these agents. I graduated from Syracuse.
She gave you the green light.
You understand me? I'm in the OR following Paul Mooney every night, but I'm depressed because this guy won't fucking sign me.
Right.
I'm depressed because this guy doesn't think I'm too old or whatever the fuck. Funny is funny. I was a kid. I learned funny from Jackie Gleason. He was 50. Dom DeLuise was a fucking old man already.
But you know what dictates that is, yo, Argus Hamilton said this to me, and I believe this. He said, Doc, he said, you know what the number one problem with most comedians? I said, what? He said, finances. He said, I had a dad who got money, so it was easy for me to do the comedy I want to. He said, y'all got it bad. So he said, so it's kind of, it dictates a lot of different things in the way you think and the way you look at things. So if you somehow can focus on not being paid and the struggle of it, that's where people get envious, is the struggle. And you be like, God damn it. Like, how do I get to a point where I'm not sleeping on couches no more? Where they paying me? How do I get funnier? How come this guy? So when you start letting all that go and really just zoning in on you, that's when it gets better. You know, for myself right now, I'm getting more feature work. I'm getting, you know, I got a little cartoon I'm working on. I got different things that just been happening, you know, from doing background work on people's TV show. To me, that's all part of the building block of what I want to become. But before any of that, I was just like, man, shit. Sleeping on couches. I was going house to house, staying with Ian Edwards, and the waitresses was letting me live with them. Then it was, you know, not live, but, you know, a few days. Okay, you can stay over here a few days. So I was like all over the place, standing, sleeping in my car on the hill, police kicking people out of the neighborhood.
I lived in the car, like, Ralphie's floor,
man.
The hotel on Schrader.
Right.
I lived in the hotel on Sunset behind the Cat and Fiddle. For $65 a night, that was a creepy fucking hotel.
Man.
I lived on some weird places the first 3 years I lived here. I lived in Josh Wolfer's couch. when he had the baby and the Great Dane in the fucking living room, the Great Dane would sleep on the couch and I'd be allergic to hair. But I love comedy.
Yeah,
I love comedy. Yeah, and when you look at it from that perspective, to sleep on somebody's couch, you really got to believe. Yeah. You really got to go, you know what? Wait a second. I can move back to Boston. I get some blow fronted to me. Within 3 weeks, I'm making money.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? I always think the same shit.
Why the fuck am I on this guy's couch?
Yeah, I used to always
and
say that.
And then you
to
think
myself.
Out the move. You know, you know what? I'll give myself another month.
Dog. Because I knew so many people on that level to get access to drugs so easy. I used to always be like, all I got to do is one call and I can give me a key right now. And I could flip these O's, you know what I'm saying? A couple tracks here and there. And you know, but it just, it was, but it all goes back to like, then what? You know, it was just like, nah, like this has, like doing this. Not only has a purpose, but it has that machismo behind it that when you go after something you really want, no matter what it is, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, or you the dude flipping fries and you want to be manager at McDonald's, that drive that when you that drive, that thing that you just because you want that, man, there's nothing that can get away of that but death. So at that point, you would be like, what the fuck is sleeping on the couch? What the fuck is sleeping in my car? What the fuck is being sleeping out on the park bench for a little while? These dudes is doing it. If these homeless dudes, I ain't gonna be here for long. That's what you have to say to yourself. I ain't gonna be here for long, bro. And that's your incentive. Like, instead of taking your situation and looking down on yourself and crying and moping about it, you keep it moving. And what happens is it just gets better. And if it don't, you'll die. So it's either or. It gets better or die. And that's the game.
The
game.
Fucked up choice.
I mean, but that's how life is, though. You either sit there and make it better for yourself or you die right there. You know what I'm saying?
You're freaking Mr. Freeze out.
Look at him. Yeah, it was too much. You couldn't understand.
That got too deep there for
it's just, you know? Crazy, man. Like, imagine, like, you grew up, like, now your daughter... One generation gap and the difference in the way she's going to grow up. And just like the luck. Like, what if you and your daughter had switched places? Like, it's crazy how just like, just the randomness and then all this shit happens to people.
Right.
You know, I agree with Marcus Hamilton, but I don't, because the best work I've done is when I've been broke. Right. You know, what gets you noticed of a band? The first album. Why? Because they wrote it when they were fucking broke.
Right.
Yeah, they had a year to write it, right. But they wrote it when they were broke. Everything's different when you're fucking broke.
Right.
You know?
It's a whole nother
thing. I love fucking being broke because that's your best work. That's always when you worked. That's all right. When you're broke, you get to work at 10 to 8. Yeah. Right or wrong?
Right.
When you're broke, you get to work at 10 to 8. Yeah. Skip doop a doop.
Yeah, do it.
Ready to go. Sweep and shit. Once you get a couple yards in the bank, you get that quarter after. The fucking traffic. You know, my bird shit. Right. My mom killed me.
Right. But what all Argus was saying was he, like, what he was saying was just that, and I see it. Like, from working at the store 10 years, I seen it. People go and they just go work and they quit comedy because they just working. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just, the workload, the wives is on them. You know, there are some guys whose wives didn't left them and now they succeed. It's hilarious. It's like, oh shit, now this dude succeed.
I could see being that in love with comedy that somebody would leave you. My wife was very close. When I proposed and married Terry 2 months later, she didn't tell me. I knew she was very close. I love comedy.
Right.
This is what you do.
You know what this reminds me of?
This is your first love, G.
You know what this reminds me of? What you're saying? Heat.
Yeah.
With Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. Remember how they were so into what they was doing that scene when they came together? He was like, I do what I do. How do you have a wife?
Yeah.
He's like, I do what I do. How you have a girl? And they was like, hey, man,
this is
what we do.
This is what we do.
Like, all day.
I don't know nothing else.
Damn.
Because the only way she's going to stay with me is two ways. Yes, if I'm happy. And B, if I have money. I have to be able to give her security and support.
Right.
So, before anything, this is what I need to do. Yeah, I know it's Thanksgiving. I know what America's doing. They're eating turkey. But guess what? I got to borrow 20 for the turkey, yeah, which means I got to go work.
Right.
I got to go work. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
But that's how real people look at situations. My problem is people who take all these holidays and different things so serious to where, like, they ignore the real values of life. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like... Like, me and my moms, we don't even trip on birthdays and Christmas, really. When she hit me up, you coming home for Christmas, it's not because it's Christmas, because she know that that's the time that I can take off for the vacation, and so she just wants to see me. You see what I'm saying? Or you come, sometimes she'll be like, you want to come home this month or this summer, you know what I'm saying? So I'm saying the quality time is more important than the days. You know, like... As long as you connect in with the person that's for you when you need to and when you can, that's what holds it together.
Yeah, but
you see,
man, when I was trying to do my comedy thing, it was tough to connect with anybody.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I walked out basically on a I had a daughter, and I was trying to be a dad, but I knew that my urge for comedy was more, and I wasn't doing her no justice by living there going to war in front of her every week. I knew that I'd do more for her if she saw me become something with my life. That's what I always thought in the back of my fucking head.
Right.
That's the most important thing. I gotta become something, because you might not be here. I might be in love fucking around, but you might disappear one fucking day, and here I am, and I missed out on my shit.
Yeah,
because I've been trying to, you know, I used to be in a relationship that I was always thinking about her happiness years ago. And I'm like, what the fuck do I give a fuck what she's happy? I got to do what the fuck I'm doing.
Hey, remember, you're at the end of Heat, remember? After he told him, he said, never
hold yourself to
something you can't turn your back on in 30 seconds. Yeah. If you feel the heat around the corner. So what happened? End of the movie, he come out, fire trucks, police, chaos.
He looked
at his girl, and he just backed up and just bang.
And he knew he fucked up.
He just left her.
And he got shot. Let me do the shot. He got shot. That's why. Don't pick her up. Mind your fucking business. That's just extra fucking travel space. Now I gotta hear I'm cold. Right. I don't feel good. My feet hurt.
You know what I'm saying?
I should have left you. Because
it could have been worse. He could have jumped in the car with her, took off, and both of them could have got killed.
Yeah, it's bad enough the cops are chasing you. And I gotta hear complaints. Don't do 90. He just ran a red light. I don't give a fuck. The cops are chasing.
Yeah, he's like, hey, the heat around the corner. I'm gone.
I gotta get goody to the moody. You want to turn that air conditioner on? It's getting colder by the minute in here.
That's what I said.
Oh my God, it's freezing.
I'm over here like, shit, I thought y'all was
damn.
Like, damn, these dudes is over here.
I've been freezing.
Todd Stimson.
I thought it was
Rich Santa Cruz, Stephen Sturgeon, DJ Dorchester, my main man, Cody Plaxtico, Stephen Sturgeon, it's his fucking birthday, I think. So happy birthday, my brother. Cody Plaxtico, Carl Hungus, Benito Munoz, and my main people who gave me and Lee some fucking cards to go shopping. Greg and Lynn Powers always making it happen.
These shout outs from Twitter or what?
Lynn looking beautiful. These are people who are fucking family members, you know, on the podcast.
The podcast, that's cool.
You know, I'm really happy you came on today.
What's that?
Something's been going on lately that just drove me crazy. You know, an art is a beautiful thing. No matter what you do, it's a beautiful thing.
Right.
And let's pretend once you get good at that art, it's a beautiful thing. But something happens. People get involved. And then money gets involved.
Yeah.
And when money gets involved, it always makes things. I went to a meeting with Lee a few weeks ago, and the guy was kind enough to just talk to us, and it opened up my eyes. And I was pushed into a decision because my agency, you know, they're just treating me like men's amends, you know, and I just wanted more. I've been on 8 auditions.
Right.
And I wanted to be on more auditions, and I want more backing, you know. So I went to the agent. I met with one guy, and then I contacted my agent. I go, listen, I need the goods. I need the team. Or if not, what am I doing there? You guys are just going to put me on the road 3 weeks a month. You're going to make me money till one day I'm fucking 58 and there's nothing left.
Right.
And I got no resume. You know what I'm saying? And I know comedians have shot themselves over that.
Right.
You know, so this has to... And they were like, okay. And he tried to play me off and blah, 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 blah. And yesterday we were supposed to have a talk. And it was one of the worst talks in my life. Like, I remember maybe 6 or 7 talks in my life. One of the worst talks when my uncle told me I was a piece of shit, that I was never going to mount it on DNA and all that shit.
Right.
The talk when I went to prison, the guy telling me that if he had something I wanted, you know, they're talks that make you look inside.
Right.
Yourself. And, and it's talks that sometimes you know the answer, you just don't want to think about it until somebody tells you. And this guy told me what I needed to hear, basically, that he couldn't help me, that they didn't like me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that there's nothing you could do. And in comedy, sometimes that's one of the things that beats you up. You know, that's when you get down on yourself. I look at other comics and I talk to comics, and sometimes they look at mine and they go, Uncle Joey, you know, everybody went to Montreal. I'm not going to Montreal. It makes, you know, and I get it because I was that guy. I've always been that guy. You know, oh, you're too old for this. You're too young. You came at the wrong time. And I was thinking after I got off the phone with him, for a minute there was pity. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but I'll put it out there. When my mom died, there was money involved, and my stepdad never gave me the money. And for years, I thought he would give me the money. And one of the chains that I let go of was saying, you know what? I don't want that money. I don't want that money. I'm not even going to fight for that money no more. It was taken from me. I have to figure out on my own how to go out there and get this paper.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And that's what a lot of people don't want to do. Like, they just did me and Lee a favor. You know what I'm saying? By him saying to me, this is what's going on. We can't help you. We don't want to help you. They don't like you. You give a guy like me more ammunition, you know?
Right.
Because you just put a mouse against the wall. I'm one of those dudes. I'm a rat in a corner when you do that type of shit. And I've been thinking, I thought about it last night. I mean, last night I was so tired. When I go to acupuncture is one thing. Then to eat a pot edible and to do a kettlebell workout, I slept like a baby last night. I was watching TV and I sat there for 20 minutes. Like, I've been sitting here for 20 minutes. I don't even know what the fuck I'm watching.
Right.
Well, I was thinking about how your life is always about, they're kind of like disappointments. You get disappointed. And that's the reality, is how stuck you get about that disappointment. That's the reality of life. Is you have a divorce, if you get stuck for 8 years or you get stuck for 2, it's all up to you. You don't even know you're stuck when you're stuck. I've been stuck 20 fucking times, and people listening to the podcast have been stuck 20 times and they don't fucking know it.
Yeah.
But it's so weird how.
It's a fucked up way to look at life.
What is life?
Well, it depends on how you
You're a little kid. Like you're a little fucking kid. Everything's good. You got a pneumonia. You lose an eyeball. Right?
But you know
what? What are you going to do? You're going to choke? You're going to be the one-eyed kid? Nah, you got to live through life with a glass eye, and it looks one way, and your eye looks the other, and you adjust. And then when you're 12, your grandpa dies, and your grandpa taught you how to be a fisherman. So now, you follow me? How do you react?
Yeah, but what about all the good times?
Well, what the disappointments, though.
But the disappointments make you...
They're positive.
That's why
because that's what a lot of people don't understand is... Positive and negative both can be positive for the person that's willing to be positive, period.
Lee, for 30 seconds, I almost called you and said, Lee, take the camera and shove it up your fucking asshole. I'm never doing a podcast again. I'm done with fucking entertainment.
Really?
Lee, every time somebody takes wind out of your sails, when you're a hard... Look, there's two ways to take wind out of a person's sails. There's people who don't want to do the work and they get the wind taken out of their sails. Then there's the people who do the work and get the wind taken out of their sails.
Right.
The people who don't do the work, they'll fucking sail away. The people who do the work fucking just fucking pick up those sails again and go, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? You got to go for it. You know, that conversation. Listen, I haven't talked to my uncle in 10 months. And it breaks my heart because of my daughter. I want my daughter to have blood. You know, and because I don't talk to my uncle, I haven't talked to my cousin.
Right.
So it's been going on. But you know what, man? I got to be honest with you. I never got over the conversation in 1984. And a lot of people are listening to me going, Joey, how childish are you? It was a real fucking conversation when I didn't need that conversation.
Yeah.
I was starting to mourn. It took me 5 years to finally mourn my mother. And all of a sudden, this motherfucker is telling me that I'm never going to amount to nothing.
Right.
Because my DNA was just horrible. We were drug dealers and we stabbed people. And I got to tell you, that destroyed me for about, bro, that destroyed me for like 2.5 months.
I had the same thing with my pops.
2.5 fucking months.
My pops told me I wasn't going to never be shit.
And you know what? Right. Oh, I'm never going to be shit? Guess what? Now I'm going to show up as good shit.
Right.
You know, that teacher that I'm going to dinner with my daughter and I, we're going to Arthur Avenue with Mr. T. You know, I lived with Mr. T for 6 weeks. I was telling you guys before. And I got a job at Creskill Liquors. And I was robbing these guys blind. I mean, robbing them blind.
From day one?
From day two. It took me a day to realize these guys are fucking pigeons.
Right.
And then I just did it. It was one of those old cash registers. Mm. And it was old-time alcoholics from the neighborhood. They come in all creeped up between 6 and 9 after they got off the bus to go home and get that late-night bottle. And they come in, they spend $12.99. I charge them $2.99. I take the $10. You understand me? So I was making money all night long.
Was they counting their inventory or what?
They
sold a lot of apple juice tonight.
Yeah, after a month, they finally. And I would rob right in front of the guy.
Wow.
The owner would be sitting there waving at people. Nick, how you doing? And I'd be like, thanks, $2.99. And then when he would get up, I'd take the 30 out of the register. Even with the fucking camera on me, I was robbing these guys blind.
Wow.
And he complained. T came in one day to the liquor store, and they told T. And T told me, you embarrassed the shit out of me, you know. And by that time, I had already lived in Tenafly. And T can't call me one day, and he goes, man, I just talked to the guy at the liquor store. What the fuck did you do in there?
All right.
The guy said his fucking inventory went down 80% when you were working. I was robbing him late. I got a whole new apartment, furniture, a fucking new Walkman. I had clothes.
So what were you doing?
I would work 4 nights a week from 6 to 9, and I was stealing $200. I was working. What the fuck, Lee?
What happened? Close it down.
Mayday, mayday. We just got hit. Lee eats fucking 2.5 stars. You know what he did? He pressed the button.
No, I didn't.
Yes, he did. I watched the whole fucking thing go.
I think they're back, but I think someone, I think they'll.
Yeah, that was you, you fuck. I seen the whole thing go down. You hit it. It's like when you hit the music and the fucking thing turns down. You shave your hair and you get all fucking crazy. On what were we saying? About the what?
Because you said that. He said that your uncle was like, what were you doing? He said, man, you did.
Oh, I cried. I snorted coke and cried in the hotel. I fucking was so, it destroyed me that, because I had felt that I was going to amount to nothing. I was doing nothing. I was robbing people.
Right.
I was living on people's couches. I didn't have a job. I didn't graduate high school. I had nothing, no potential, nothing. I had nothing going on. And I figured I'd come out here. And I'd start a new life, and he'd finance me, and I'd pay him back. Fuck no. He's like, I wouldn't fucking help you. You're garbage. It's in your DNA. Oh, my God. I cried for 2 fucking days. This was the last of my blood. This guy's supposed to help me, not fucking put me down. And that put down, and then I got locked up.
Mm.
And I'll never forget sitting in that prison 2 years later, and I'd be furious at him because he was right.
Mm.
I ended up in prison, and I would go to the payphone, and I'd get whatever, 325 in quarters, and I put the block star 69, and I call him up, and I go, you're fucking dead. You're dead in Spanish. And he goes, who's this? Who the fuck is this? And he fucking hang up on me and shit. And he fucking hang up the phone on me and shit. But you know what? That talk, because when I got out of prison, that talk in the back of my mind pushed me. You know what I'm saying? When I got locked up, that talk that dude had with me, I was pissed at him for 3 months. That made me who I was today. In 91, this white dude gave me a talk about stand-up comedy, dog. That, oh my God, I still get mad at him for how he spoke to me that day. But the
what'd he
reason,
say?
Oh my God, he just read me the riot act on life and comedy. But when somebody reads you the riot act, it's a mirror. There's a few people who could do it and get away with it. There's people who do it from an anger side.
Right.
That's not a good side. And there's people who do it from a hatred side. At the comedy store, they'll attack you. You know, you stole a joke or whatever the fuck, they'll go up to you. But then there's people that do it because you anger them, because you're not doing. It's like a
you're
good.
Not, you're
it's,
not
it's
doing like your a, potential. You're yeah, not living
like
your
I
full
see it
potential.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like, there's nights I go home, I'm leaving, and I look and see what's coming up, and I see a comic's new specials coming up. And I go, fuck, that guy's made me laugh.
No.
And all of a sudden, the first joke is like this fucking stolen joke or this fucking joke. That, and all of a sudden, I go, you just lost me. You just fucked it up. So I cheer for the comic. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Try to give him some kind of.
What was I saying? I'm fucking high.
I'm 500 milligrams.
Those fucking stars fucked me up, dog. I still got to take a flight tonight and shit. Fucked up on that flight.
See, where you? What time you flying out?
Like 11 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
I zoomed in way too far.
You what?
I zoomed in way too much. Like, can see my eyeballs.
He fucked up.
Fucked up. It's over for him. He's going to stop at the Mexican place.
Man.
He's getting carne asada fries. He's going to rub cheese on his face. Tonight. Look at his head. It's nice and shiny. Look at him. Oh, my fucking God.
Look at this dude. He's gone.
Milligrams.
Who gives a fuck? You're on fire. You're like fucking Madonna in 86. You know what I'm saying? But it's true. Like last night, I could have. Last night, there was for an hour there, I just sat on the couch numb. Like, I just sat there in the chair numb. I've been doing comedy 24 fucking years. I'm a grown man.
Right.
I've been through 1,000 fucking things. I sat on the couch numb.
The other day?
No, yesterday when I had this conversation with this agent.
Do, right.
And it all pointed to the same thing. It all pointed to anything else that's happened to me in my life. Excuse me. 9 out of 10, when somebody has told me those type of things,
right.
It's things that I've already known. And I paid attention to them. I just wanted somebody else to tell me. Now I know what I have to do to help myself.
Right.
A lot of people usually don't know how to help themselves. That's been the fucking theme of this show, is that we have different paths. I mean, you could just get an Anthony Robbins book.
Right.
Right? And read the Anthony, whatever his name is, Robbins, whatever his fucking
Tony
name.
Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
You can put barbecue coals in your backyard and jump up and down on top of them. You know, whatever the fuck you want to do, but it's doing it.
Right.
Like, it's fucking, you learn from your fucking mistakes.
Right.
Or when life throws you a curveball. Sometimes life throws you a curveball. I bumped into a friend of mine the other day. His father died 3 years ago. Left. Cash. But the brother jumped on it before the will got read. Ba 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 ba. He hasn't talked to his brother. This was his favorite brother. The brother stopped talking to the rest of the family.
Yeah,
you know, they're accusing him of taking $2 million fucking dollars. Let me tell you something. These people are the nicest fucking white people I've ever met. I know the brother, and I know him, and I know the sister, and I know the husband to the sister. I've known him in L.A. for 15 fucking years. I know their kids. I know their kids when they were kids. Now they're adults playing guitars and shit. And you look at, and I got to tell you something. When I saw them the other day on the drive home, I told my wife, I go, and I had a tear in my eye. My wife goes, why are you emotional? I go, because if I ever went up before God as a young kid and said, what do you want at the age of 10? I want to go, I want to be that family. When I first met these people, when I first met them, I met him as a writer. He had a show on ABC that was a top show.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew this agent said, you should meet with him. And we hit it off so much. And he's from fucking Malibu. We hit it off so much. He introduced me to the brother, who's a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And he introduced me to the sister. I went to their parties. I went to their fucking Thanksgivings.
Right.
Then the dad came. The dad took me and I saw the documentary about the family and their fucking badass. And the dad just did so many great things, and he left all this money. He died unexpectedly. And now this family doesn't talk.
No.
And this is like the third family I've grown up around that I loved as a child and as an adult. That you know, and I could see that this has broken him.
Yeah.
And I even pulled him aside. I go, listen, man, I know you're down, but you got to get back to
writing.
Even write a movie about this. You still with whatever? He goes, yeah. I go, so you're sitting at home 3 years arguing with this guy every 2 days on the phone.
Right.
I go, you might. And when I was telling him this, I could see that his eyes lit up, his cheeks got a little red. I go, write a script about a family that got broken up by money.
Mm.
I go, that's the only way. You know what I did yesterday? When after about 2 hours, I went in the room and I wrote about what happened. And when I read it back, it took the sting away.
Right.
And it made my life a lot better, and I'm here with you motherfuckers today. So sometimes something bad happens, you know, you feel bad, write it down and tell the story and then read it. Right. And by reading it, you're like, oh, this ain't nothing. This is like Muhammad Ali punching me in the fucking jaw, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It's sometimes I get worked up. Like, I feel like I'm getting towards the end of what you were talking about earlier, like feeling jealous. Like every few months, I'll be like, I'll get like nervous. I'll have a big bill or something, and I'll get nervous, and I get like worked up in my head, and then it's like I have to calm myself down. So it's kind of cool, I guess, writing it down would be helpful. Like you could just write it down.
You'd be surprised sometimes. Sometimes you get mad at, like, listen, one thing I've learned is, and I was wrong for a long time, I love all those revenge films. The other day I watched The Chinese Connection again with Bruce Lee.
Man, that's a movie right there.
Fist of Fury.
Fist of Fury and Chinese Connection? Because they got the messages.
God damn, when he hangs those two dudes, he starts hanging people in Chinese Connection. But it's so weird, like Man on Fire. All those movies are my type of movies. But you learn something sometimes. Well, I learned it with my ex-wife. Do you know I tweeted my ex-wife, like my daughter, and I sent her a message, and I tried to be her friend. It's still pending. Can you fucking believe that shit? I just want to get, but you know what? I feel good. I got it out of the way.
All right.
Now I get a decision from her.
Well, at least it's pending. At least she didn't decline it.
Who gives a fuck? She's going to decline it. I don't give a fuck at this point. This is what's going to happen. But it's so weird. Like, all those situations, it's true what people say. Those situations toughen you up because it's how you respond and how long you're caught in limbo.
Yeah.
I was caught in my mother's death for 5 years. It took 5 years off of me. Then another 20 I gave to cocaine. I lost 25 fucking years along the fucking way, fucking around.
Yeah.
You know, do I wish I had them back? Yes and no. Because it made me double up. Yeah, it made me who the fuck I am today, man. Right. So sometimes I get emails from people telling me how bad their life is, and I got to walk them off the fucking cliff or give them a quote. And that's what it is. It's how we react to these fucking things, dog.
Yeah.
This motherfucker yesterday, I called Lee last night. What time, Lee? 12 o'clock. We were talking about our plan. Were we not?
Yeah.
I almost took you out to dinner last night with that card we had. And then my wife made fried chicken. You know, when somebody makes fried chicken, she's from the South. You can't. There ain't no dinner. I was going to take it to that Chinese restaurant last night.
Which one?
The one you were talking about, the fucking egg rolls the other night on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
See? Uncle Joey takes care of
you. Where the spot at? Hold on. Where is this at?
Tell him, Leon. Cold water.
It's like Emperor Express. It's Burbank. And, right around there.
Cold right water. By the Valley College. There's two malls.
It's pretty good.
That's what he said.
I've never eaten there.
Oh, you just looked at the pictures?
No.
Don't be bullshitting me. Don't send me. Don't pull a Steve Simone on me.
That's going to hurt his feelings. I've only gotten delivery. It looks like it's like one of those like shitty places that you only get takeout from.
What did you get delivery from there?
Well, I've gotten the General's chicken.
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten pan-fried and steamed dumplings. The egg rolls are really good. And then that's really it. Like, sometimes I'd mix it up, but that's really, like,
I have
like
qualms about most Chinese places and stuff like that out here. They not, you like, back east, you get big chunks of white meat and a little bread wrapped around. And out here, it's like all of this hard, battered, except for chin chin. Chin chins do it like back east. You know what I'm talking about, Joe? Where
what are you eating, though? I don't want no batter anyway.
Sweet and sour chicken.
I want to see that meat. Last time I ate batter, that could be a finger. That could be a pinky and shit.
But you know, like they say, the General Child chicken, you don't eat none of that? The sweet and sour, none of that?
No.
What do you eat when you go to China? Nah, like if I get like
I'm a shrimp and lobster sauce type of guy.
Awesome. Really? But that shit, open up with shrimp and lobster?
Always. But the whole problem is these motherfuckers don't know how to make it. So I gotta adjust to some type of meat dish.
Right.
You know?
What is it? It's lobster sauce. I've never even had it.
Delicious.
I've seen it all the time.
You gotta eat it on the
brown
East Coast.
Gravy. Yeah.
No, you gotta eat on the you can't eat it here. It's like on the East Coast they make egg foo young and they put a sauce on it with little fucking sprouts. Delicious. If Chinatown, somewhere, like I had it in Boston, off of Route 1 at that comedy place. Oh my God. With the brown rice, fried rice and stuff. I like all that stuff, but I was going to take you there. I'm like, and then my wife made the fried chicken. I said, fuck that. And she only made she made chicken soup, but she took six pieces, and she fried them up. The baby got two, I got two, and my wife got two.
I'm not even sure how sick you were. I think you were just like, I think I might get her to make fried chicken.
No. You know, dog. Guys like me don't get sick. Guys like me into preventive medicine. That's the secret. That's what America can do. When you're making $10 an hour and you have two kids and you feel a flu coming on, you don't have time to sleep. You don't have, you know what I'm saying? So right. You can't. You try to do the best you can to maintain it. If I don't feel good on a Monday night and I got to leave on Thursday, the last thing I want to do is give the people on Friday a bad show because I'm sick. You ever do a show when you're sick? You can pull it off.
I've done it once, I can pull it off. But I try not to.
No, but emotionally you can't do it. Emotionally you can't breathe.
I've seen a lot of comics do it.
You get a headache.
Yeah.
It's not a good fucking feel. You got to talk to people afterward. Now you're giving them your fucking flu. You can explain to them you got the flu. They still want to take a picture. And you get a letter a week later, you're fucking a flu shot. Trust me, you don't want to work sick. You don't want to do anything sick.
I just don't like want to try it because I don't want to try it and it don't work.
So do you have like
and you know it's like a waste of their money and time.
Yeah, no, I don't want to work. I want you to see the 100% Joey.
That's how I am.
That's what you want.
Do you have a system for like beating a clip for staying healthy? Then
not sweating, not getting fucking cold air on your back. Not, you know, just chilling, fucking taking some vitamin C.
As much rest as possible.
Drinking a ton of fucking water and pissing that shit out.
Yeah.
You know, and I know how it is to be sick but have to go to work. And you have a sweatshirt on, you get hot, you take that sweatshirt off, bang, fucking pneumonia. So when I'm going on the road, that's why lately people get mad at me after shows. Do you want to get high? I'm not getting high with you because I got 3 weeks of fucking work. And people don't give a fuck. They've just gotten over the flu and influenza and the chicken pox, and they want to get high, so they go to work and tell their friends on Monday they took a picture of you smoking dope.
Right.
You know, I can't do it. I got to fucking go to work on Monday. You can't be sitting there breathing on my neck, gumming up the rolling paper, and then I get the fucking chin flu, and next thing you know, I got to go on a plane with a mask, and I got to be sick. That's a horrible way to be when you're trying to fucking do comedy work.
Yeah.
I got a couple weeks left for the year. I want to finish it all up healthy. And enjoy the holidays like everybody else, dog. You got a fucking flu or something. You got to go on a plane. You got a pneumonia. There's another type of flu on the fucking plane. The guy next to you is from fucking Bulgaria. And he brought some flu from Alaska. And here you are with two flus confused at work in your body. Your immune system trying to fight two different fucking flu bugs. Good luck, cocksucker. That's why you got to take fucking on it. That's why Shroom Tech... Fucking, I live on that shit immune.
Shroom Tech.
Live on it.
What is that?
Shroom Tech is this Palisopis fucking mushrooms they got for conditioning. I don't know the words. Listen, I'm 600 milligrams. I'm 700 milligrams in. Don't be asking me questions. Jeopardy is not going to exist. Let me just run through the ad and I'll send you to the webpage. Fucking people want to ask me questions. I can see if it was a white dude. Black people don't ask questions. By the way, they want to fucking ask questions. Black people.
Man, like, I mean, you threw that out there like I'm just like, shrimp to it.
Everybody wants to ask questions.
Hey, you know, I'm just trying to understand
people,
where we go.
Black people hear mushrooms, hey, they just keep fucking looking the other way and shit, all right?
Yeah.
Black people traditionally don't like mushrooms. Black people don't like
you
mushrooms.
You know, but not the ones out here in Hollywood. Real, they, most of them don't.
You want to insult a black person, give a black person a portobello mushroom. They lose their mind when they see a portobello mushroom. You don't see a portobello mushroom in the ghetto. Never.
I was telling her, it's so funny how black people and other people get high. It's hilarious because like I just the whole vernacular. I was talking about this on stage how like because I was telling people how like if you're black and you call weed pot, how I can't trust you. You know what I'm saying? Because black people, we don't call weed pot.
What do you call it?
Weed kush. And you never hear no rapper like I got a bunch of pot in my fucking trunk. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the crib hitting that pot. You never.
I call it reefer.
Reefer, whatever the fuck.
Reefer, where's the reefer?
We call it whatever.
We doing another edible?
Haze, perp. You know what I'm saying? If a black dude say pot, it's like,
don't trust him.
Yeah,
don't trust it.
They do come up to me like, Doc, you want some more pot? I'm like, no, I don't. Officer, what the fuck? Who sent you? Like, why are you here?
Robert Downey Jr. Undercover again.
Yeah, you can't. Because only two types of people black people can say the word pot. That's undercover cops or the black dude that like come from the suburbs with like the sweater tied around his neck and his name better be like Carlton or some shit like that. Like them only like black, we just don't say pot. Every time I hear a black dude say pot, which is very, very infrequent, I get like, ugh, like where you from? Like, it's just weird.
What if you heard a black guy say like marijuana?
It's funny. Yeah. You just don't hear them. I never hear black people say shit like that.
Let me do the shroom tech and talk all about this shit. Anyway, shroom tech immune, shroom tech sport, the hemp protein, 16 grams of scoop, the chocolate. I mean, fucking on it. It's got it if you need it. That's all I'm trying to say to you. You fly a lot. They got the turnaround 180. You know, the alpha brain is the bread and butter right here. What the fuck is it?
Earth-grown
nootropic. That's right. Alpha GPC and AC11. This gets your mind thinking. It opens up avenues. You understand me? You take two alpha brains, you smoke a joint, call me in the morning, motherfucker. You're going to have dreams and color and shit like that anyway. 100% money back guarantee. You've heard about Alpha Brain. Here it is. Here's your opportunity, cocksucker. Go to honor.com right now and press in.
Church.
Boom. And get 10% off your first order. And you get 100% money back guarantee with Alpha Brain. If you don't feel a fucking difference between 2 weeks, we don't even want the material back. We'll just send you the fucking cash. How's that one for a money back guarantee? They're also the makers of hemp protein powder. They're also the maker of, not Hemp Force. Is it Hemp Force?
Yes.
I'm kind of stoned right now. It's Hemp Force protein powder. There ain't nothing better. The chocolate with a banana in it and some peanut butter. Stop the fucking presses. And like I say, Shroom Tech, I live and die by that shit. I fly every weekend. I hit that Shroom Tech immune. I got Asians coughing on me. I show up with a big dick smelling like soy sauce like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, go to Hunter.com right now and press in.
Church.
Let me get the MeUndies stuff, will you? You got any MeUndies stuff over there? They got the material, Teflon, whatever the fuck.
We closing all the way. What's going on?
Yeah, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, my bad.
What the fuck, Lee? Where you been with the MeUndies? You're slipping. What's with the notes? What? You over there writing notes?
No, it's the texture. You have all your stuff, man.
Jesus Christ, Lee. You're slipping. That's it.
So here's the deal, guys. Go to MeUndies.com.
Nah, hold on. Okay. We all know how sexy confidence can be. And confidence comes from being comfortable. You got to be fucking comfortable. You ever be uncomfortable? You're moving around. You're fidgeting. Right away, people are looking at you like, this guy's untrustworthy. Something's not right. His balls are itchy. Why is he moving around? But how great can you feel if your underwear is wrinkling and riding up? You don't feel good. MeUndies gets it. And that's why they created the world's most comfortable fucking underwear for daily dose of confidence. You wear underwear every day. Me, halftime. That's 365 days a year, rain or shine. You got underwear on. You need it to be extraordinary without the insane price tag. If not, you're going to get those white cotton things like me. I still got them in my fucking underwear drawer. I still got the white cotton things because I grew up on those things. But I wear the fucking MeUndies to jiu-jitsu. I wear the MeUndies when I go to the YMCA under stuff to keep everything. When I fly, I wear MeUndies. Luxury is half the retail price that you find anywhere. And MeUndies knows this. And that's why they created the world's most comfortable underwear at half the retail price. When you look good, you feel fucking great. It's a cliche, but it's fucking true. MeUndies understands that too. And that's why they designed this underwear that makes you look and feel fantastic. Number one, MeUndies is made with Modal. You know what Modal is? No. A fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. This twice as soft, whatever underwear you're wearing right now. MeUndies has tons of colors and tons of styles. Plus, they got matching for he's and she's. And let's say you want to run with Caitlyn Jenner, they got those two, all right? Here we go. Plus, we all know that paying for shipping sucks. So MeUndies has removed that from the equation. So if you order from MeUndies right now and you give us our code, boom, you get it for fucking free.
MeUndies.com/Joey.
Boom, you get that for free. And MeUndies even has a money-back guarantee. If you don't in love with the first pair of MeUndies, you keep it for free. That means you have nothing to lose. So do me a favor. I love MeUndies. I wear the safari ones. I got the black ones with the purple stripe on top. I love these things. We don't fuck around here. Go to MeUndies.com right now and press in.
Go to MeUndies.com/Joey.
Boom! And order your first order of MeUndies. Listen, I'm going to give you
20% off
and free shipping. Who does that? Nobody does that. And I'm going to do the same thing with Honor. Doesn't Honor give you a little special deal? They give you 10% off. They send you like a fucking hat. And I don't know. I don't know what they send you. Anyway, go to MeUndies.com right now. You like underwear? It's the holidays. These are the underwear to get your boyfriend. He's going to love them. Plus, his balls will smell fresh. Everything's tucked away. And that's it. I love you guys, man. I'm happy Doc came up today.
Hey, my man.
Dropping some knowledge. Everybody for you people that are having a rough time right now. It's the holidays.
Hey, we love y'all, man. First of all.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And make sure you take that with you through the rest of your week, through the rest of your holidays, through the rest of the year, and into next year.
Listen, there's the most important thing. That it's the holidays. And a lot of people feel down during the holidays. You know what you do? You do what you could do, and you start the new year off. You write some goals. you see where you can get help, you know, but you got to help yourself. It's a whole new fucking year coming up, and we're all trying to be better every fucking day. I'm going to be at the Stress Factory Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next weekend in San Francisco at the Punchline, and then I'm at Irvine Improv the night before Thanksgiving, the 8 o'clock show. Lee Syatt will be down there co-hosting the show, you know what I'm saying? You know how Lee does it.
That's cool.
He's always there to pick up a free fucking envelope. Works me to know, and that's why I love him. Doc, thank you for coming on. Yeah, you got anything going on, Doc? Are you around town?
I'm around town. Actually, I had a gig. Well, I do, but I ain't even confirmed it yet, but I'll let y'all know. I'll let him know. I'm going on my Twitter, Doc Willis Comedy, or my Instagram, Doc Willis Comedy. And you can see anything that I post there and see what upcoming shows I put on there. And that's it, bro.
All right, Lee, wrap this motherfucker up. Why are you sitting there like a mamalukaye?
I don't know. This show is brought to you by MeUndies. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey to get 20% off. To get 20% off your first order of all the great men's underwear and t-shirts, socks. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey to get 20% off your first order with free shipping in the United States and Canada. And go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off all of their great optimization products.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Okay. You're hearing some chickens in this motherfucker. What? Get up, cocksucker. Uncle Joey. See you guys next week, Monday night. Maybe Monday afternoon. I haven't decided yet. My allergies are killing me. Stay black. Have a great weekend.